Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the Resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. Well, I'm freaking sick and tired of turning on the news and seeing the religious right's ungodly fight to take our right to choose. When to bear our children, who to love and how, education and protection if we're just practicing for now. So look, obey a book if that's what works for you, but I don't tell you how to pray, so don't you tell me how to screw. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the Resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. So you're screaming bloody murder about the Taliban regime, subjugating women and being too extreme, and basing legislation on some ancient holy book. Does that sound a bit familiar? Here's a mirror, have a look! And as for the Ten Commandments, they need one more at least. Thou shalt never cover up the acts of pervert priests. Now how'd they let that happen? Unless they just abhor us. Well, anyway, it adds another layer to the chorus. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and Resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. So you'll execute a person and protect a single cell, but mercy kill the terminally ill and you're going straight to hell. Well, I don't know much about the word God, far be it from me, but I can tell you what it ain't. Hypocristianity. Now I am not anti-Christian. Before you grab a rope, there is beauty in religion and joy and love and hope, and we're all looking for the answer, this colossal cosmic cause. But who the fuck are you to turn your views into my laws? It's just believers in the Bible that would have abortion banned. Anti-choice agnostics, I could count them on one hand. And as for killing babies, I have but one retort. If someone raped your daughter, George, you'd beg her to abort. And if some young girl from your church shows up with child or some infection, because you taught her what a horrid sin it was to use protection, well, one day you'll face the pearly gates. And what you gonna say? When that long-haired Jewish peacenik sends your ass the other way, saying, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. Look, I've had it up to here with all the biblical you spew, so keep your Jesus off my penis. At least that's what I would do. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. As if you want me to.
Okay, so... welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Donovan. Thanks for joining me tonight on Off Limits Show. I wanted to talk tonight about the Bible and the fact that it's fiction and why it's fiction, and talk about it from my perspective in a little bit. And if you have something you'd like to say during the show, you can call in 214-377-0481. Or if you have Skype, you can call in using Skype by dialing... through Skype using the name Off Limits Show. And if you want to talk to me about your side of this or your thoughts, you can feel free to call in during the show. Also be sure to check me out on offlimitsshow.com, also on spreaker.com, iHeartRadio.com. And it, by the way, if you're a listener who listens exclusively on iHeartRadio, you're not getting the full show by any means. You're only getting a very small smattering of shows. So If you are a listener on iHeartRadio, then be sure you check out the show at offlimitshow.com or Spreaker.com to see all the shows I've done, because iHeartRadio has very specific standards of what can be said and done and played, etc. So that's why only a few shows are there. But if you want to find out more about me, you can find out more about me in those places. So I was thinking today about the Bible. I came across a show on Spreaker that's always talking about the Bible on Sundays. And I didn't listen to it. I never do. But there's several shows actually that do that. And, you know, it's Sunday, so people like to talk about Jesus and the Bible. And, you know, as I've told you before, I was raised a Baptist myself and in the Christian faith. And, you know, without rehashing everything I've already told you, because basically I'd never was really much of a believer in all of that. I mean, I was brainwashed just like everybody else. And, it's, fascinating to me how it's, you know, people's logic escapes them when it comes to their religious beliefs. And when it comes to the Bible specifically, the Bible, you know, for Christians is seen as a perfect, generally perfect instrument of God, or perfect interpretation of what God's word is, etc. When it's never refuted by people that it was written by man and not by God, him or itself or whatever. So it isn't something that's the divine word of God, as they often say. It's often you know, they often refuse to concede to that point. But even if that's not the point, even if they want to believe that, that's fine, I guess. But the point is the similarities between the stories and the characters in the Bible and those that came from mythologies previous to the Bible. Lots of different myths and Greek mythology and Roman mythology and paganism, et cetera, and even Wiccan and other religions and Egyptian religions, et cetera, they existed long before the Bible ever came about. And these are, you know, proved, and proven, I should say, and well-documented, proof that these stories came before the Bible ever came or was told or was written or anything, before Jesus Christ ever existed. Some of them hundreds, some of them even 1,000 years before Christ. So, you know, there's several things in the Bible that mirror other stories that were told. One of the things is, first of all, if you look at the book of Genesis, which of course talks about Noah's Ark and the flood and the story and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of that story, if not almost all of it, follows right alongside the story that came before it of Gilgamesh and the flood story. And first of all, God decided to send the whole world into a flood, and it was going to drown everybody, men, women, kids, everybody, everything on land, all the animals, eliminate everything and just start over. And God knew, and according to the Bible, of one righteous person, and that was Noah. In the whole fucking world, it was Noah that was going to be the savior. And God told them to build a huge, huge ark, or as it was called in the actual Hebrew, original Hebrew, a box or a chest. It was actually the actual word that was eventually interpreted later as an ark. And he's not happy about it. He doesn't want to do it. Doesn't want to build the ark and complains about it, whatever. But he ends up doing it. And, the ark had to have a lot of compartments and a single door had to be sealed. And it had to have every one of every species of animal on earth. And, the story said that a great rain was going to cover the land, and it was going to land. The ark actually ended up landing on a mountain in the Middle East. And the first two birds returned to the ark. The third bird apparently found dry land because it didn't return. And so he and his family leave the ark. They kill the animals, killed an animal, and offered it for sacrifice. And the Babylonian gods seemed sorry for what they had actually had made to happen. Promising we'd never do it again. So that was the story of Noah's Ark, essentially. And the details of the story of Gilgamesh and Noah are very similar. Gilgamesh came from Babylon and hundreds of years before the Bible was even written. And so do you think that based on all the similarities in these two stories, you know, that they're almost exactly identical, that those words and those people who wrote the story in Genesis had never heard of the story of Gilgamesh? Do you really think, and if they had heard it, and they were simply rehashing an old popular tale, why didn't they say so in the Bible? Or what does that say? You know, what does that say about the Bible? I mean, that they didn't ever say anything about it. So, that's one thing. But the most obvious, and the one that's, I think, really obvious for anyone who has a brain, is that the Bible talks about Jesus Christ himself. And, you know, it turns out that the story of Christ, and I've talked about this on the show before as well, is not even original. I mean, not even like a little bit original. It's completely, it's almost to a T, other than the names and the places they took place, essentially, the exact same stories that were told previous to Jesus Christ himself. And there's lights, you know, it's like basically a collection of bits and pieces of other kind of stories that came long before the story of Christ. And so here's some examples. First of all, Asclepius, who was prior to Jesus Christ, who was, I think, Greek. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he was known as a savior and the redeemer of the world. Then, of course, we all know who Hercules was. Hercules was born of a mortal mother and a divine father, and was known also as a savior of the world. Prophets said that he, you know, was going to be born. They foretold his birth when he was going to be born and said he was going to be king, and they started a search by a leader who wanted to kill him. Okay. He walked on water. He told his mother, "Don't cry, I'm going to heaven," when he died. And when he passed, he said, "It is finished." So it's very similar. And these are things that came thousands of years before. Okay. Dionysus, who was the, I don't think she was a Greek. Was she the Greek god or the Roman god? I think she was a Roman goddess. But anyway, she was literally, she was considered the son of God, or he was considered, he was a guy, sorry. I'm thinking of Diana. Dionysus was considered literally the son of God, was born of a virgin mother, and was always depicted riding a donkey. He healed the sick. He turned water into wine. He was killed, but he was resurrected. And when he was resurrected, he became immortal. And his greatest accomplishment was his own death, which delivers humanity from sin itself. Then we have Osiris. Osiris was an Egyptian god who did the same things. He was born of a virgin. He considered the first true king of the people that he oversaw. And when he died, he rose from the grave and went to heaven. And his son Horus was known as the light of the world, quote, the good shepherd, and quote, the lamb. He was also referred to as, quote, the way, the truth, and the life. And his symbol was a cross. There's a few more examples here I'm going to read to you. Before them also was Mirtha. Mirtha's birthday was celebrated when? On December 25th. His birth was witnessed by local shepherds who brought him gifts. He had 12 disciples, and when he was done on earth, he had a final meal before going up to heaven. On judgment day, he'll return to pass judgment on the living and the dead, and the good will go to heaven, and the evil will die in a giant fire. His holiday is on Sunday, because he's the son of God, and his followers called themselves brothers, quote-unquote brothers, and their leaders were quote-unquote fathers. They had baptism and a meal ritual where symbolic flesh was and blood were eaten. Sound familiar? Heaven was in the sky and hell was below with demons and sinners. Krishna, we know about Hare Krishna, right? Krishna had a miraculous conception as well that wise men were able to come to because they were guided by a star. After he was born, an area ruler tried to have him found and killed. And his parents were warned by what? A divine messenger. However, they escaped and were met by shepherds who helped them. The boy grew up to be the mediator between God and man. And of course, there's Buddha. Now, Buddha's mother was told by an angel that she'd give birth to a holy child destined to be what? A savior. As a child, he teaches the priest in his temple about religion while his parents look for him. He starts his religious career around 30 years of age and is said to have spoken to how many disciples? Anybody can guess? 12 disciples on his deathbed. And one of the disciples is his favorite and another is his traitor. And he and his disciples abstain from wealth and travel around speaking in parables and metaphors. He calls himself the Son of Man. He was referred to as Prophet, Master, and Lord. He healed the sick, cured the blind and deaf, and he walked on water. One of his disciples tried to walk on water as well, but sunk beneath because his faith wasn't strong enough. And the last one would be, it came after, or around the time of Jesus, rather, was Apollonius of Tyana. I think it's pronounced Tyana, who was a contemporary of Jesus, like I said, performed countless miracles, healing the sick and crippled, restored sight, casted out demons, etc. His birth was of a virgin, foretold by an angel. He knew scripture really well as a child. He was crucified, rose from the dead, and appeared to his disciples to prove his power before going to heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father, who was also known as the Son of God. So the problem, of course, is that these previous stories existed hundreds to thousands of years before Jesus Christ himself did. So if you have all of these stories, I told you 9 different examples of stories that were almost identical, if not identical in some instances, to the story of Jesus Christ himself. And so it raises questions as to, well, in a logical person who's not been brainwashed by religion or their family or their community to not think for themselves, it raises questions as to what is true and what is not true that you've been taught about your belief system. Now, I understand that people, when they, you know, there's a reason that these things are not talked about. And as I said, they've not talked about because of the fact that it makes people question their religious beliefs. And religious beliefs are incredibly entrenched in people's lives and who they are, et cetera. And oftentimes, even in some religions, even in some parts of Christianity, fear is driven into them to think differently than what they've been told, because you know, they're often told that if they don't believe that they're going to hell or they're going to be, you know, cast to death or whatever, something bad and horrible is going to happen to them if they don't believe or if they question their religion. And, you know, so it is understandable why people are often very unwilling to embrace their actual logic in place of what they've been told and the myths that they've been given as people. So I find it to be saddening and depressing because these people are walking around in somewhat of a fog, I would say. I mean, they really are doing that. Before I go on that, though, I want to say a lot of people are familiar with Occam's razor, which says that all things being equal, one should not seek complex explanations when more simple ones are available. A lot of atheists use this as their argument. And, you know, so I'm going to use that because I think it's correct. Generally, it's true. I mean, when there's something that is an easy explanation for something, it typically is more likely the answer than something that's really complex or to make things up to explain something. So if, you know, grass is green, is it green because it's supposed to be used to make money? I don't know. I'm using some that kind of logic. No, it's green because of chlorophyll, you know, and so on. So, and no one disputes that the stories that I said that predate the Christian Bible existed. I mean, so we all know that these were true stories to have existed. I mean, it's proven that these stories existed even by biblical scholars, people who are religious, who aren't completely nuts, understand that these stories existed and predate the Judeo-Christian Bible. So you really only have 2 options here. Number one, the religious explanation is that while there are other stories and that they were very much the same as those in the Bible, that they are all false. But when they occur in the Bible, despite it being pretty much the same content, this time the stories are true. And one explanation of the resemblances to the earlier myths is that Satan created them to lead people astray from the true Messiah that would come much later. So essentially, an ultra-powerful and evil god or being, god, whatever, influenced humanity to create deceptive stories all through these thousands of years and thousands of years before the real version so that people wouldn't believe the real thing when they saw it. That makes a lot of sense. And the other alternative explanation is that the nature of storytelling, basically, during the time and the period in which these kinds of things were around and pretty much were prolific, this combined with, our natural tendency as human beings to have certain repeating elements in stories, and the fact that the Bible stories came after the other ones explains the similarities to the previous myths. And since the stories of worldwide floods, virgin births, and people, rising from the dead, and the Bible's based on those things were false to begin with, which everyone agrees on, they're also false in the Bible. So basically, the Bible is simply another iteration of the same stories that came long before the Bible. So, which of these explanations seems more likely to you? It's just always cracks me up when people who are Christian believe what they believe so devoutly when there's an abundance of evidence to the contrary. There's an abundance of evidence that what they believe is complete bullshit, that it's completely made up and completely untrue. As the other stories told, especially about Buddha and some other previous prophet type individuals, Jesus Christ was not around between the age of, I don't know what he was, between 12 and or 13 and 13 and 30 in the Bible. They don't talk about it a lot. Well, one reason would be because he was Jewish and Jewish men had a bar mitzvah at 13. They became a man at that point. I'm sure he began to probably have sex and got married and had kids and all the things that most Jewish men in those days did, most likely. And even if he didn't, those intermittent years, what was he doing? I think possibly he was roaming the earth, roaming around the Middle East, roaming around maybe all the way to China, maybe all the way to somewhere he could learn about Buddhism or India or whatever. And so he picked up these stories about religion. He was searching for something, searching for himself, searching for the truth. If he indeed did exist at all. I mean, I'm not even sure he existed. If let's say he did, and in those years he picked up these other stories and he came back recounting them. And I would think if he were a real individual, he came back and he started recounting these stories and he was, I don't know, he was either crazy and really believed himself to be God, or he was simply recounting stories told to others, from others to himself, and people attributed these things to him. So I don't know what the truth is any more than you do in terms of whether he existed or not. But what I do know is that the story about Jesus Christ and the stories told in the Bible, most of them were told beforehand. So there's nothing original about the majority of the Bible. There's some parts of it that are original, of course, and but the stories and the tenets of the and the parables and the lessons you learn in these stories are previously told, almost exactly identical in some ways. So I never understand how people can continue to believe in a religion and so devoutly that is been proven to be nothing but based on falsities. I guess people need something to hold on to, and that's okay. If you're a religious person and you need these things to hold on to because it's easier for you, then that's fine. Go right ahead. But as the song I played at the beginning of this episode said, don't put your religious beliefs on me or anyone else. Don't proselytize and don't tell people they need to believe what you believe, otherwise they're evil, going to hell, and don't harm someone else's life or rights because of it either. Some people need something to hold on to because they're not strong enough to live life and to make it through life without something to hang on to. And as I said, that's okay. It's okay if you need something, this false belief in something, or this Christian belief specifically, to make you feel whole or better about your life or who you are, or about life and existence and, you know, in general, period. I think that it's like believing in Santa Claus. You know, when I was little, I believed in Santa Claus till I was six because that's what I was told. I was told that Santa Claus existed. I was told he came and brought me gifts every year. I was told that if I was good, he would give me gifts. He would reward me. And if I was bad, he would punish me. Well, that sounds very, very, very similar to religion in general, specifically Christianity. You know, Christianity, if you're good in life, you, when you die, you'll be rewarded. If you're bad in life, you, when you die, you'll be punished, just like with Santa Claus. So what happened to me, what happened when I discovered that there was no Santa Claus? What happened when I discovered that there was nothing but a story that I had been told and lied to? People be around me, kids around me around the age of five, began to start to say things. Well, a couple kids, you know, there's no, the older kids would say, oh, there's no Santa Claus. You believe in Santa Claus still? He doesn't exist. Da, da, da. And I think, you know, I was like, what an asshole. I was thinking, I remember thinking, what an asshole. I was on a bus one time. I remember going between my preschool and somewhere, or in daycare or something. And I remember him saying, this kid, this, he's probably like eight or nine or something, saying this to us. And I was thinking, what a fucking asshole. I mean, thinking of it that way, but I was thinking, what a meanie or whatever. And I was thinking, and it gave me this sense in my stomach of fear that I'm not supposed to believe there's no Santa Claus. I'm not supposed to believe that there is no, God, there is no, God, you know, that's what we were told. And so when this kid started to say, there's no Santa Claus, there's something in the back of my head that said, well, what if he's right? Even though I knew that when my parents had told me, my mom had told me, my family had told me, I knew there was something maybe to it. And so I asked, and my mom said, yes, of course, there's a Santa Claus. And so because I trusted what I was told by my parents and as a child, of course. And then that same year, or the following year, rather, the Christmas, when I was 6 years old at Christmas, we went to my aunt's house for Christmas that year. My aunt had family-wide, renowned handwriting. It was so beautiful. It was really gorgeous, beautiful handwriting. And so it was very distinctive. And I'd always noticed it and seen it. I noticed everything. And I had known this about her as well. And so when I went to open my gifts, it said, Merry Christmas from Santa Claus. You've been a good boy this year. You know, Merry Christmas or whatever. And they were all written by the ones from Santa, by my aunt. It's handwriting. And at that moment, I remember the moment in my mind. I remember saying, oh, there's no Santa Claus in my head, because it meant to me, oh, there's no Santa Claus. I was logical. It made sense, right? And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to ruin the illusion for everyone else that I was, oh, I'm in Santa Claus. I'm a good boy, whatever. So I went along with it until after I went home and I explained to my mother that I knew there was no Santa Claus. And she said, damn. So and then the veil was lifted. And so for me, it's very similar to, it's exactly the same thing practically as with Christianity or with religion in general. We were taught something that by our family, by our parents, by our pastors, by our communities, that this is the truth. This is the way things are, because that's what they were taught, and that's what they were taught, and that's what they were taught. The only difference is that some people, when they come to begin to ask questions, and the answers to the questions don't make sense, they continue to believe it in anyway. They convince themselves somehow that what they believe is true because, as I said, they need to believe it. Whereas the others, of someone like myself, for example, discover the truth about what is and doesn't exist, you know, in terms of religion anyway. And we decide that based on logic, that there is no, the things that they say in the Bible about God, et cetera, are not true. Or maybe he didn't even exist, Jesus Christ, in the Christian faith or whatever. And Muhammad and Moses and so on and so on. I mean, there's someone for every religion, Buddha, whatever. And even if they did exist, if they were actually these miraculous people or not. So you make a decision for yourself whether you're going to continue to follow a religious belief system because it's what you were taught, or if you're going to abandon it and discover what the truth is and begin to try to discover what the truth is, whatever that might be. Because just because I don't believe in this any particular religion doesn't mean I don't believe there's something else. I mean, and that's based on my own belief system. It's based on my own belief system. It's not based on anything I was told or taught or heard. It's based on my own research throughout my life about religion and about spirituality and things like that. That's why I call myself an agnostic and not an atheist. And I don't feel that there is nothing, but I'm very close to it because I can't say there's nothing because I don't feel there's nothing inside me. Something inside me says there's something else. Okay. But I don't know. I have nothing to prove that. There's no proof. I have no proof of that. It's just something I feel. Just as someone who's religious, that's just something they feel. That's just how they feel. They feel that it's true, even though they know it's not. But I don't know what I know isn't true because no one's ever proven it not to be. The difference is with religion, it's easy to disprove them easily. They're easily disproven because you can take facts and say, this didn't happen, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. And as I just proven to you on the show tonight, these things that happened in the Bible happened in 9, 10 other stories that we knew well before, thousands of years before Christ ever came. The exact same stories happened. So even though, so the difference is these religion has been proven to be man-made, made up bullshit, basically. And spirituality has never been proven not to be true because spirituality has nothing to do with a Bible or dogma or any particular thing. All it means is that you feel there's something higher than you or some sort of connection to the universe that you have that's beyond just this planet. There's something more ethereal out there. That's just a belief system. And if someone proved that to be not true, I would believe them. I would say, you're right. It's not true. If someone proved that there was a God, that there was some God, I don't know, out there in the universe watching over us, I would also believe that if they proved it to be true, you know, and if every atheist proved there's nothing, all we are just dirt and they could prove the existence of man and why we're here and et cetera. And that when we die, if they could prove when we die, nothing happens and we just become worm food, I would believe that too, because I'm a logical human being. If you prove something to me with logic, with facts, with backing it up, I will believe it. But if you just base it on something you were told, something you believe, and something that you've never been, if you base it on something that's been disproven multitudes of times, I have no respect for that. And it's really hard for me to understand why you would do that. Except, as I said, because you need religion to make yourself feel happier, better about yourself and about your life, or you need something to hang on to. So, and that's okay. If that's who you are, that's okay. But it's also okay for us who know that it's all bullshit. So that's all I wanted to say about that. I just wanted to do a quick show about that. I'm going to go do gay mass later tonight. So thanks for listening to the show and you all have a great night. Good night.
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.